Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 247. I'm Kevin Larrabee and we got a great show lined up for you this week. The first thing that we're going to be having is an interview with Tom Venuto. Some great stuff with Tom on fat loss, body composition challenges, supplements that work, like the new stuff and the old stuff that seems to be coming back into the new stuff. Lots of great stuff from Tom. And then we're going to be going into an interview with Peter Barber, who's from the PT Advantage. And I talked with Peter a lot about kind of like the fitness industry, really what's going on in the fitness industry now, and why a lot of the trainers out there are really not reaching their potential. So it's some really cool stuff with Peter. So stick around for that after the interview with Tom. And then after that, we're going to be coming back one more time to talk about what we're going to be doing for episode number 250. If you can believe it, we're coming up to episode 250 now, and it's pretty amazing that we've made it this far, past a little bit more than 6 years that we've been doing it so far in a couple different iterations. So I want to talk to you guys, and I need you to give me some feedback in terms of episode 250. So it's, like I said, I say it a lot, but this show is really for you guys. I want to make sure that when you guys do download the show, you're getting something that you want to listen to. So with episode 250, I want to make sure that that episode is very special. So I'm going to talk about that in a couple minutes or in about an hour. So we're going to talk to Tom, and then I'm going to talk to Peter, and then we're going to talk about some stuff for episode 250. So stick around. Here is the interview with Tom Venuto. With me right now is Tom Venuto as we come closer and closer to episode 250. Like I've been mentioning in the past, we talked to Dan John last, and leading up to episode 250, I'm really trying to get very selfish and get on my favorite guests from the last, like I said, 200 and so many episodes. And again, we've had Tom on the show a couple times before, but if you don't know Tom, just easy way to check out some of Tom's stuff is at burnthefat.com, and you probably know him from Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, which believe it or not, is coming up on its 10-year anniversary. But Tom, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you calling me a favorite guest.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's I kind of did a little bit of an assessment going back through some of the old episodes, even re-listening to some of the interviews, and it is a mixture of awesome information and personalities, and again, you kind of, not to blow smoke, but you made it to the top of the list. And thank you for taking the time to come back on the show. We do have a ton of questions from the listeners, so I don't think we waste any time. I think we just jump right in.
All right, let's roll.
So I'm going to do my best with this name. We got a lot of questions from Facebook, and I got some emails and from Twitter and stuff like that, and we kind of rolled them all in. This person is a fan of the show, I know, because he's sent in questions before. But Ariton Key, I'm gonna say that's my best version of that name. Feel free to correct me in the future. But Tom, as we learn more with experience and newer scientific knowledge, how has your training and nutrition advice changed between your first book and today?
Well, my first book, like you said, was Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle, the first edition. That was way back in 2002. And then we put it out in an ebook in 2003. It was actually one of the very first fat loss ebooks ever, compared to now. It's like, how many of us? Like 1,000 of them now. But so, since then, there's been 10 more years of experience for me and my readers and clients, and 10 more years of research that's moved on. So the book has been updated to reflect some changes, but at the core, I haven't really changed the principles. The program worked 10 years ago. It worked 10 years before that when the ideas weren't on paper, but they got delivered one client at a time, and it still works today. Because the way Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle is set up is it's a program about principles. It's not on the latest trend, or it's not about fads. And you know, that reminds me, one of my favorite quotes is Emerson, who he said, the methods, there could be a million and then some, but principles are few. And the person who grasps the principles can select his own methods, but the person who tries methods and ignores the principles is going to have trouble. So, I mean, today there's a lot of things that are really trendy and people are jumping on all kinds of, you know, what's new, the latest bandwagon, but the principles never changed. Like the law of energy balance is still there. Mm-hmm. And the newest research studies, they don't change the principles. You know, like there's a new study about leptin or a new study about some other hormone. It doesn't change that. It only our understanding of how to apply the old law. Mm-hmm. So we still have to teach it to people in a way they understand it. So, you know, I hope that people look at me today after 10 years of this and they say, you know, hey, that guy, Tom, has been one of the most consistent voices in the fitness industry. He's the guy who doesn't keep changing the message every time the wind blows in a different direction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he doesn't change to follow the money. You know, what the only thing that really has changed, you know, outside of the minor details, you know, like 10 years ago, Ephedra was the hot fat burner and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have to adjust the chapter on supplements and little details like that. But what has changed is the idea that if you understand the principles, you can pick your own methods. So that, you know, that's what's changed. Pick your own methods part. You know, the law of energy balance is still there. Mm-hmm. The need for a certain amount of, you know, protein is still there. But the way I present it to you in the Burn the Fat 2.0 edition is you can use different methods to follow that principle.
Well, I actually, just that response kind of spurred a couple questions, or one of those topics that are debated about quite a bit, and one of them is, you know, we have lots of voices in the industry now saying lots of different things. Some people are saying that you should be counting all your calories, weighing all your food. Some people say, you know, just eat what they would consider to be clean foods and everything will fall into place. Kind of, where are you at right now?
In terms of counting or clean foods, or which?
In terms of, you know, counting calories, being a little bit more rigid with making sure that you are finding yourself in a deficit versus people saying, you know, that's too stressful for people. It makes people fail.
Well, I'm in favor of being flexible. Mm-hmm. But I'm also in favor of having a plan. Mm-hmm. See, if you get too flexible, you don't have a plan anymore. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay, you have to hit a certain amount of calories and you have to hit your macros at the end of the day. You know, however you want to do that, knock yourself out. But if you don't have a plan, that's not a real good idea. Because, I mean, it's like a football team goes out in the field. They know they got to get to the end zone. They know what has to happen at the end of the day. But if they don't have any plays, they just go out and there's no huddle and they just go, I mean, what's going to happen? There's no plan. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm in favor of having a plan that has flexibility. Have customize your plan. In other words, why not put a plan down on paper, like a meal plan? Put all your goals on paper, put a meal plan on paper, but customize it. Pick the meal schedule you want. Pick the foods that you like that you're going to stick to in order to hit that calorie and the macros, but then follow that plan that you chose. So that you have a plan, but it was customized for you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And the second part was, and we did get some people that were asking about this, but you know, it seems to be almost a tired topic with people always looking to see what the latest supplement is for fat loss. And you know, we've seen things in the past, like you said, you know, things like Ephedra, or you know, the latest stuff with Yohimbe, or another hot thing right now is just like medium chain triglycerides. Like, people are just trying to find all these little ways to squeak out every last bit of extra fat loss. Is there anything that you recommend that falls into that category at all right now?
Wow, is MCT like come back around?
I've been seeing a blast. Like, it's I forget where I saw it, but in terms of, you can go to like Amazon.com and sometimes, like, when I'm searching, like I buy my protein shakes through there and stuff like that. And sometimes you'll see things pop at the top and I'm like, The big seller was medium chain triglycerides for supplements and health.
Wow. And well, you know what? That just shows not only that there's constantly new trends and bandwagons, but that the trends cycle.
Exactly. I mean, this was 10 years ago, too.
Do you remember Twin Labs MCT fuel, that stuff?
Yeah.
You would drink that and it was orange and it like was scratchy in your throat. Do you remember that stuff? Or am I giving out my age here?
No, again, this is stuff like when I was in college back in like 04, where this was one of those things where you went down to the local GNC and in terms of the fat loss supplement sections, there was bottles of this stuff there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's something to MCT, but it could be a completely separate conversation, the coconut oil, which contains MCT, mm-hmm. which that probably re-stimulated the interest in it. There's legitimate research that shows that it's a thermogenic, but people get really confused and they think, oh, it's thermogenic and it's not absorbed. You know, it goes directly up into the liver instead of through the usual pathways and whatever. Mm-hmm. So they think, I'm going to take like 5 tablespoons of that and it's going to ramp up my metabolism. And they forget that there's calories in that.
Yeah.
So even if it has the thermogenic effect, there's a net caloric load they just added. I mean, the whole idea would be to remove another fat from your diet and replace it with MCT if you were trying to get some kind of benefit from that. But I see the same thing with coconut oil. But usually that's a different perspective. Sometimes they're saying weight loss, but that's usually like a health food thing. So you see some claims about people, you know, take 4 or 5 tablespoons of coconut oil a day and the fat will melt off. Well, you just added how many calories, like 600 calories to your diet? I mean, they might get fatter from it, and they don't really understand like how it works when someone says it's got thermogenic effect. So I don't think that the fat burner or fat loss supplement market has advanced at all. What's out there that works now is marginally effective. Like, you know, a green tea extract has a little bit of a thermogenic effect, but even that. Do you remember the oolong tea hype?
Yeah.
That it was all over. That was the thing for a while. If you look at the study that led to that, it was 2 hours long. So they measured that it increased your metabolism for 2 hours. So the question is, well, did that help with fat loss? They don't know. They didn't measure it. So they're making all these extrapolations. So yeah, it's a thermogenic, but does it increase weight loss over time? It's still pretty questionable. And now, you know, we have, you know, the Dr. Oz miracles. First, it was, raspberry ketone and
Yeah, green, that's what I was going to say, is maybe it popped bean. Up on Dr. Oz because, you know, like you said, I mean, he says he promotes something on his show and it just skyrockets.
Sells out, yeah. And the internet now, with the internet age, this is what's different than 10, 15 years ago, is they're scrambling to put up these sales web pages which feed on all that hype because now it's on Dr. Oz. Everybody jumps onto Google, types in, oh, green coffee bean. And they're not led to any, you know, legitimate scientific research page or led to the advertisement, you know, which sucks people in for, you know, a free trial. And then it's like $59.95 a month and, you know, and it's, you know, filled with all the fake testimonials. And, you know, even something like that, I looked at the study and if it does anything, it's really marginal. It's like there's nothing out there that dramatically helps with fat loss. The industry, the fat loss supplement industry has not advanced.
Well, I mean, it's crazy that, you know, that is the case, yet it still continues to grow and grow and grow as an industry in terms of the money that it's bringing in. But very, again, I think that's, hopefully that will answer a lot of the questions that we got in there, but some very interesting stuff. So kind of rolling off that first subject, like we mentioned before, Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle is coming up on its 10-year anniversary. Can you talk a bit about the transformation of the book from then until now? I know you touched on it a little bit before, but I mean, like you said, 10 years, a lot of the principles have stayed the same, but are there any other ways that it's evolved as a book and within the material?
Yeah, well, it was probably around 2005 or so, maybe 2004. I started to get really interested in and serious about what the research said. Before that, I just kind of dabbled in it a little bit. Like I would, you know, I'd come across a study and look it up, but I didn't really have a deep understanding of types of research, the research methods, or like how to make sense of like the whole you know, the whole body of, like, you know, if there's 20 studies on something, how to kind of put that all together. Or I didn't even know how to, for a while, how to find what I was looking for. So the first edition on Burn the Fat 10 years ago was a few studies that I had looked at kind of selectively. And it was mostly a reflection of my experience, personal experience as a competitive bodybuilder, and like the collective experience of bodybuilders and fitness models, how they get so lean. So since then, I figured it out. I immersed myself into the science. I learned how to read a study. My files must have something like 5,000 studies if you combine the full papers and the abstracts. You know, I was pretty much a nerd for a while. But for Burn the Fat, Feed the Muscle 2.0, the 10th anniversary, to revise it, I must have read like 1,000 full text papers. And really, my main goal was not just, you know, bring it up to date, but make it as technically accurate as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why that was important to me, and it was not actually an easy task, is that if you're teaching traditional bodybuilding, nutrition, and training and fat loss techniques, you know, it is a bit of a challenge. But what I found is I did it. I just had to separate like facts from anecdotes. Like, you know, the dude in the gym says this. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, I could say, okay, the research says fairly convincingly that 0.8 to 0.9 grams of protein per pound of body weight is actually completely sufficient for muscle growth, mm-hmm. even for a guy who's strength training. But then I would go on and say, well, you know what? We're going to round it up to 1 gram per pound because that gives us an extra safety margin. You know, better a little bit on the high side than the low side. Mm-hmm. And then what I would do is I'd say, but here's what some of the best bodybuilders and fitness models out in the trenches are doing. And, you know, it may be a lot more protein than that. And I may not have conclusive evidence showing that you get better results that way. But here's the way the bodybuilders do it, and it works pretty darn good for them. So that's how I just presented the information in Burn the Fat 2.0 and give the recommendations now. And that way I've been able to stay true to the principles and to the theme, which is burn the fat, feed the muscle, the fat burning secrets of bodybuilders and fitness models. And that's still true, but I balanced it with, you know, here's what the real world says, and here's what the research says. And I kind of give both of them to you.
Perfect. And kind of going off of, you know, that subject of what you've been doing with Burn the Fat, you've been doing, I mean, in the last couple of years, one of the big things that you've been doing are the challenges with the program. And Anna has a question. She just said she would love to know about the future of your Burn the Fat challenges, and if the rumor is true that you're moving to California and leaving New Jersey.
Well, let me tell you about the California first. Well, I mean, I saw another post on Facebook too that it said, "Why would someone want to move from California to New Jersey?" And it was kind of backwards. But actually, I was actually born in Santa Clara. I lived in San Jose, but only till I was 10, mm-hmm. and then my parents hauled me over to the East Coast to actually first was Massachusetts, and I remember the year it was 1978 because there was the blizzard with like 2.5 feet of snow that year.
Yeah.
So, like, welcome to the East Coast from California, Tom. And then Pennsylvania. And then I ended up in New Jersey to go work at a health club. But, like, I've taken a few trips back out to California. And every time I go out there, I threaten all my friends and family out here that I'm going to move to California. I've been threatening that for, the last 10 years. But here I am. So, yeah, the rumor's true that I've always wanted to move back to California. But whether or not I actually am, that remains to be seen. So
it's a great area. I mean, it's nothing wrong with New Jersey, but California, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I really like the Bay Area because, like I said, I was born in San Jose area, mm-hmm. and I love the Bay Area. And all my friends say, "Come on, bro, you should be in Venice Beach, man. Santa Monica, Gold's Gym," and which, you know, that's nice for the bodybuilding scene. I don't think it's the same as it used to be, but.
I trained there a couple of years ago. I spent the summer after college in Santa Monica, and it was still I still had quite a few bodybuilders would regularly come up to me and try to give me advice and give me tips on
really?
My training and stuff like that. I think it was a big Willie Smith was the main guy who I used to talk to every morning I was there, and still pretty decent crowd there. Very nice.
Last time I went and trained at Gold's in Venice, Lou Ferrigno was training, and his son was working the front desk.
No way.
Yeah, and there was a few others. There was one of the I don't even remember his name. Oh, Silvio Samuel. Is that ringing a bell? This is back a few years ago. I saw Mike O'Hearn was over there deadlifting. It still had quite a bit going on. It's still the bodybuilding mecca.
Yeah, it's a nice experience. Walking out to my car, there were still guys living out of their RVs.
Yeah, like in that movie. What's that? Bigger, Stronger, Faster?
Exactly. Yeah, it was that guy. They must have filmed that probably a year after I left. But it was pretty surreal to see people that dedicated to training that they would just live in an RV and live on the street, like the side street of Gold's Gym in Venice. In terms of the challenges and stuff like that, let's talk a little bit about that and what you've been doing.
Yeah. Well, we do a body transformation challenge based on Burn the Fat program, and we hold it at burnthefatinnercircle.com. We call that Contest Central, and it's a before and after transformation contest, very much inspired after Body for Life. I know there's more than one transformation contest out there. Ours is a little different because we're not a supplement company. I know probably the majority of contests, you know, you buy the supplements and then that's all you got to do to enter. This is just for our people, everybody who's using Burn the Fat program. We have it twice a year, once in the holidays. It's a 49-day challenge. Pretty interesting because it's coming up soon. They start the week before Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. and they're doing a challenge over Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. And it's actually become a major tradition for us. There's actually a lower entry rate in that contest, but it has a higher completion rate. And the whole idea there is for people to, why wait for your New Year's resolution? Why not finish the year strong and start the New Year with a strong head start? Mm-hmm. So that's staying a tradition as long as there's still interest in the contest. People have been asking, I heard rumors that you're not going to do the holiday challenge anymore. Because it has a lower enrollment rate. But as long as the interest stays up, we're going to keep doing it. And we're doing it this year again. And that starts the week before Thanksgiving. And we'll be announcing that on all the Burn the Fat sites, burnthefatblog.com, burnthefat.com newsletter, Burn the Fat Inner Circle. I'll post it up on Facebook too. So that's coming up.
Awesome.
And then in the summer, we do, we call it the Big Burn. It's 98 days, twice as long. Tougher for people to stick with because just a longer commitment time period, and so it doesn't have as high of a completion rate, but as you can imagine, with 4 months, it's a pretty unbelievable transformations. I mean, there's people doing this contest and we upload the pictures on Facebook and there's always somebody who pops in and says, no way, Photoshop. You know, that steroids, that wasn't 4 months, that 49 days, are you kidding me? But it's all, you know, our contest gets held in a forum where they post their before pictures. Every week they post their progress. So like right in front of thousands of people in the forum, they're journaling their progress in real time. So you see the results unfold. And then at the end is the big reveal and they post their after pictures. So yeah, it's all date stamped and documented. It's just it gets people amazingly motivated and inspired. You know, a trip to Maui doesn't help hurt. As the grand prize, it's pretty motivating. As things go right now, we're continuing to do those two challenges each year. The future of the challenge is we have started to expand our prize categories. We do some pretty neat things. Like we started seeing some people actually gaining muscle and losing fat at the same time. So we created a new award. It's the Best Body Recomposition. And that's basically the holy grail of fitness goals. So that's the Holy Grail Award, mm-hmm. which is pretty cool because people who are already in shape, who maybe have just a little bit of fat to lose and they want to gain some muscle, they go for that one. Or we have the Most Ripped Award. And that one has become a big, big deal. Everybody's chasing after that award. They're already lean. Like people had the idea before that, well, you have to be out of shape to win one of these things. But that's not really true. People who are already, have an average body fat level or a pretty decent shape, they want to go next level. They want to get ripped. Mm-hmm. They go in the contest and they go after the Most Ripped Award. And the newest thing that's going to hopefully stay in the future is for this year, we're adding a muscle gaining competition. Because some people, they're already as lean as they want to get. And they kept saying, hey, Tom, I want to do your contest. But I mean, I'm not going to win. I'm already lean. So I'm like, well, go in the muscle gaining division. So we got some new stuff rolling out this year, and that's like 5 weeks away right now.
That's very cool. So, I mean, you've had obviously hundreds of people go through this. You know, what are some of the lessons and things that you've learned or observed through, you know, helping these people achieve, you know, such, you know, fat loss goals with the challenge?
Well, we've had hundreds of people finish, even though it's tough to finish. Mm-hmm. So we've had thousands of people enter, and we just finished our sixth season, going into our seventh. So we've learned a lot from this, and the one big thing is people don't do this alone.
Yeah,
you know, we host this challenge inside a members only forum. It's a private forum. It really has a different vibe than the public forums on the web. And it's a community, and it's actually even more than just any community. It is a support community. Like, from the very first day we opened that site in 2006, we said this is a support community, and we've kind of built this culture of support and mutual respect. Mm-hmm. For people who do, you know, they're all going down the same path, but they may have different methods, but everybody's got a mutual respect. So when the contest starts, we hold it there at the Inner Circle Forum. And even though everybody's like competing against each other, they're supporting each other 100%. And then we took it a step further. The second year we did this, we decided to have a team competition. And this thing just has exploded since then. We have groups of five, teams of five, and that just took it to a whole new level, because now it's like a support group inside of a support group. And the amount of encouragement and support that people give each other is the thing that has increased our finish rates more than anything else since we started doing teams. You know, I could probably talk about this whole thing about like the power of support all day long, but mm-hmm. If I can give a plug, I wrote a free ebook on this. It's called The Fifth Element. And basically it's about the power of support. And the name is because there's four elements in a good fat loss program, like burn the fat. It's like this. Element one is nutrition. That's right at the top. Then there's resistance training, cardio training, and what I call mental training, which is the goal setting, the motivation techniques. That one missing piece for most people is the support. That's the fifth element. So if you go to burnthefatinnercircle.com, in the upper right-hand corner, you can get that free report. And it's really quick. It's a small ebook. It's like 25 pages or something like that. And if you read through that, when you get done with that, you'll really, really appreciate, you know, just how much that support matters. So, I mean, that's the big lesson. There's probably a couple more if you want to hear more, but that's probably the big one.
Yeah, I mean, what else you got? I'm taking notes as you're talking. So I'm just
well, okay. Accountability is just gigantic. Mm-hmm. Accountability is something that I've used since I very first started in the business. It was probably when I worked at Gold's Gym, I don't know if you remember way back in the days when they had Nutritionalysis.
No,
that's way back. It was this 12-week program, but the idea was not just to give people a program, but to have them come back in every week and measure body fat and progress, mm-hmm. and you know, log it into a progress chart. And I picked up that idea that you got to have people, you got to keep score, and you got to have people come in and check in. I mean, there's other kinds of support groups where people show up and they do a weigh-in, and that's accountability. And there's different kinds of accountability. I mean, you have to be accountable to yourself first. I like that Dennis Waitley quote. If it is to be, it's up to me. You gotta make a commitment to yourself. You gotta be self-responsible, self-accountable first by keeping track of your progress. That's the first thing that has to take place, is personal accountability. But then what we've done with our support community and with the contest is we take it up a level and we do external accountability too. So instead of like the old transformation challenge model is somebody takes their pictures on day one, sends them in, and then they show up on the last day and give us their after pictures. That's the old way. Okay, so the new way is with personal accountability and external accountability. Every single week, people post their results in the forums. Everybody else can see it. And that just cranks up the motivation to a level that you just can't get it by yourself. When you have that external, it kind of ties in with that whole same concept of support. But I mean, there's more to support than just, you know, that rah-rah, you can do it motivation. Mm-hmm. Accountability is another level where you're actually keeping track. Very good. If there's one more thing, I already mentioned it. It's you give people a big juicy carrot, something to motivate them, like a real reward. You'd be amazed the effort that they'll put out. you know, if you, you know, we do this every single year. We've given out two people a trip for two to Maui. And let me tell you, that really rallies people. So, but it doesn't have to just be that big prize. There's all kinds of other little rewards and motivations. As long as there's a reward system, when you put rewards on top of that, whatever that reward is, that can really, really drive motivation. So, you know, our formula is support, accountability, and reward motivation. And it just that those are the three lessons we learned.
Very cool. I think we'll definitely hit back on that in a couple minutes. But we did in getting into the some of the newer stuff that's out there. And I apologize, my dog is whining right now because he thinks it's time to go for a walk. But one of the questions we got this from a lot of people. You mentioned before new fads and stuff like that are coming out in the industry. We had lots of people asking about your take on intermittent fasting, and you know, if you are a proponent or you've looked at it and you think it is something that is beneficial and that's something that people could use, which version? Because obviously they have the you know, the 24-hour fast, there's 36-hour fast, there's 16-hour fast with an 8-hour feed. What's your take on this whole you know, thing that's becoming a pretty big deal, and it's something that a lot of people have been jumping on?
Fasting, you're making me hungry just thinking about it.
You cannot eat for 24 hours. I think one of the things that's still, you know, it scares a lot of people. If you tell them you can't eat for 24 hours, they're like, well, I'm going to die.
Well, you know what? You mentioned there's different kinds. The 24-hour one, I'm not so down with that. Because, well, I mean, seriously, the only time I've ever tried that was a long time ago. I was a teenager, mm-hmm. and it was a long time ago. But I remember to this day, I was never like really, I wasn't obese or overweight, but, you know, I had like little man boobs and I was flabby, like belly fat roll flabby.
Yeah.
And even after I started putting on some muscle, as I got towards the end of high school, I was bulked up, but I never had abs. And I hated it. It drove me crazy. And I was trying everything. I was trying every harebrained scheme I could think of, exercise, diet, like everything. So I figured, I'm not going to eat anything. I mean, if I eat nothing, I have to lose the fat, right?
Simple math.
Guaranteed calorie deficit. And yeah. I remember to this day what happened. You know, I don't know if I have the same response today. I suspect for a lot of reasons I might, but by the late afternoon, I was freaking starving. And it was more than that. I would get these terrible bouts of hypoglycemia. And it was like the weirdest and the worst feeling. It was like a little lightheaded, like really shaky. And I had this empty feeling, like no energy, like weak, like the last thing I could do or would want to do was lift. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like just crashing, but it was more like the only thing I felt like doing was eating. So that's what I did. I'd drag myself into the kitchen and I would just eat the weirdest things. It'd be like a loaf of bread on the counter and I'd start eating slices of bread until like half the loaf is gone. Grab like the bunch of bananas and munch on that and it still wouldn't fill me up. And I'd eat like a half a block of cheese. It was weird. I mean, I've never binged in my life, but like eating nothing like for half the whole day, it just like I don't know, I couldn't control myself. So then I would usually end up eating the rest of the night and it was like I felt like I was back to square one. Mm-hmm. And that happened more than once. So you know, and on the days I made it through, I just didn't feel well. It was about how I felt during the day. And so if I was gonna describe how that worked out for me, I'd say it backfired. Cause you know, it backfired because in theory, if you get through the day, it's guaranteed calorie deficit, right? It's, mm-hmm. I mean, easy calorie deficit. If you don't binge, if you don't overcompensate, no-brainer, quick fix way to get a deficit. But I just have this feeling that it backfires for a lot of people, you know, and I don't know. It's like, it's such a trend now. I don't hear that often enough, but I think that happens because I've heard a lot of other people share my experience. You know, I actually heard of one really good idea, one good use for fasting. Do you guys know Dr. Chris Moore?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we've had him Chris, on the show.
Oh, you have? Yeah, he's a really cool guy. He and his wife Kara. Mm-hmm. He's awesome guy. He's really like common sense, balanced, no gimmick kind of guy. He's actually the dietitian. He has a column, Ask the Dietitian, at our Burn the Fat Inner Circle. Well, anyways, those guys, Chris and Kara, have this boot camp for women, and sometimes they have their clients do a fast for a whole day. They have them do the 24-hour fast, but they don't do it as a diet, like for weight loss. They have them do it as an experiment to help them experience the difference between physical hunger and emotional hunger. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people just feel like eating, even though they don't need, it's not real hunger. It's just because they got cued by some, you know, they saw some external stimulus, they saw food, or they just felt down. They had some response to an emotion. It's more like an emotional, you know, like an urge. Mm-hmm. So they do this fasting experiment so that their clients can experience and feel the physical sensations of like real, like gnawing physical hunger. So the next time they get that emotional urge to eat, they can recognize the difference and then they can stop it. So like, to me, that made sense. That seemed like a good idea for a fasting experiment, because I even wrote in my second book, Body Fat Solution, about how big of a problem that emotional eating is for people. And I hadn't thought of that before I heard it from Dr. Chris. So, but you know, if that's true, if that kind of experiment shows that you fast all day, you're going to feel ravenous physical hunger, then I guess it just makes me think, why would you voluntarily put yourself through that, you know, for weight loss, if it has the potential to backfire? That's my two cents anyways.
Well, fair enough. I think it's one of those things where it's, you obviously have much more experience than me, but when it comes to working with clients and things like that, there is no one. I mean, intermittent fasting might work great for someone's schedule, someone's lifestyle, but you know, if you have someone else who has a family and they're used to eating meals with their kids and their, you know, their spouse or whatever, it becomes a little bit more of a hurdle. Or like you said, if people just feel like crap all day, then why would you put yourself through it?
Well, you know what I think that positive that came out of the fact that this is one of the trendy things now is that people are discussing flexibility in their meal frequency.
Yeah.
I guess my question is why do you go to zero meals? I mean, because you know, a lot of times they argue. You know, I represent the bodybuilding side of things, and like to this day, I still eat 5 or 6 meals a day, just as my personal preference. Mm-hmm. And I think I still think it's a good idea for a bodybuilder, especially a large guy who wants to gain muscle mass. But one of the arguments like against that is, well, it's inconvenient. You know, I don't want to be eating food every 3 or 4 hours. So I guess my reply to that is, well, why go to 0 meals a day? Why not just go back to 3 meals a day? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think that's the most valid point is customize your meal frequency, whatever it is. You know, if 5 or 6 meals a day is working for you, like it is for me and a lot of people who are in the bodybuilding world, I mean, why are you going to change it just because of what's trendy? And if it's not, why are you going to stick with it and fight it? You could do 3 or 4 meals a day. I know some bodybuilders, even though they are diehard bodybuilders, who are being a little more flexible and they're doing like 4 or 5 meals a day instead of, you know, because the 6 meals and like every 3 hours took on like these mythical proportions, like, you know, in the 90s and early 2000s that it didn't really deserve. But the bodybuilders still prefer and get really good results on more meals. I just think that if you're going to give advice on the meal schedule to like a broader group of people, not just bodybuilders, the best advice, I mean, you're going to customize everything else in your diet, customize your meal frequency. So it's not 6 meals a day. It's not fast. It's customized. What works for you, figure it out.
Well, that's a great thing to kind of go forward on. We did get a lot of questions about, follow-ups for meal planning and structuring your meal plans and stuff like that. And I know you've been doing some really cool stuff with that. Can you talk a little bit about it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I like this whole idea of meal planning. See, we have, especially today, we have this culture of apps now. Mm-hmm. We've got all the meal plan. There's meal planning software, and then there's like meal tracking apps and like diet journaling apps. And I see a big difference between the two. If you keep a nutrition journal, that I consider that to be reactive. So you eat something and then you write it down or you log it in. You eat something, you write it down or log it in, which is fine. That's one way to know what you're doing, to know how many calories you have and what your macros are. And you could actually adjust it in real time. Like if you're getting towards the end of the day and it's like, oh, I'm up to my limit. I only got 200 calories left. I can't eat this whole plate. I mean, that's a way to stay in control. Good education too. But I think the superior approach is not just tracking by itself. I think meal planning is superior because meal planning is proactive. Meal planning is when you design a meal plan in advance and then you follow it. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people, you know, we were talking before about like flexible, should you be flexible or is it too rigid? Well, you know, a lot of people say that this, you know, following these meal plans and calculating all the numbers is too rigid and the calorie counting is a pain in the butt. But if you plan out a meal plan in advance, you only have to count calories once. Mm-hmm. When you create the meal plan, then you just have to follow the plan. I mean, you weigh and measure your food, but the calories were already counted. So, I mean, I look at it like having a food goal for the day, and it's on a piece of paper. It's just like setting any other goal. It kind of programs your brain to carry out the behaviors to reach that goal. I mean, you're going into your day knowing what you're going to do compared to going into your day having no idea what you're going to do, proactive versus reactive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I used to do back in the old days up until fairly recently is I'd get an Excel spreadsheet and I'd lay it out and I'd type my food in and I'd open up the calorie book or a list of calories and macros on foods. And I'd just tediously by hand create a meal plan, put it on my Excel spreadsheet, stick it on my refrigerator, and then I would just follow that each day. If I was bored, I would just create a second meal plan, maybe a third meal plan. I'm not a giant variety guy, so you know, usually one or two meal plans was enough for me. Mm-hmm. But I got to thinking a few years ago, seeing all these apps and seeing all this software, you know, there's probably a better way. So over the last 2 years, I've been working with software engineers to build a burn the fat, feed the muscle meal planner. And we finally got that released. It's still in beta, but we released that at the Burn the Fat Inner Circle. And it's very much like an Excel spreadsheet with a database attached to it, except it's kind of smart. Like when you first sit down and there's nothing plugged into it yet, there's a little bit of work because you have to pick the foods you like and the meals you like. But what you can do is you can save your favorite foods, create meals, and save meals. A meal is like 2, 3, 4 different food items together. Mm-hmm. You can create and save your favorite recipes, and you can create and save your own daily meal plans. And they're all stored. So once you have meals, like look at it this way. You know, if you eat, let's say you do eat 5 times a day, you could have a little database of 25 or 35 of your favorite meals, and that would give you 5 to 7 days worth of meal plans. That's usually enough for people to mix and match like infinite number of meal plans. It's pretty amazing because it's not just foods. It's foods, meals, recipes, and daily meal plans. And if people want to use it to journal or like keep a diary, they can do that too. But mainly it's designed to create meal plans for people. And, you know, I've seen people who were just winging it before, going completely random, haphazard. And that was the one reason that they were stuck and they were plateaued. And I said, I want you to do just one thing. Just trust me on this. Just create one meal plan. You know, I know you've read all these diet books and you go in the back and it's got like 6 weeks of meal plans. And you look at it, it's kind of overwhelming. You got day one, day two, and it's like day 57 and day 62. And there's all these meal plans and people got it in their head that they have to have a billion different meal plans. So, you know, when someone's overwhelmed, I say, can you just create one meal plan and customize it? I mean, I'm not going to be so rigid that I'm going to tell you exactly what time you have to eat, and I'm not going to tell you what foods. You can pick the foods. There's definitely an amount of calories you got to hit. There's an amount of macros you got to hit for the day. But we're going to let you pick the foods, and you can pick the meal schedule. But create a plan. One, print it out, follow it, and see what happens. And like, they come back a week later, and it's like, wow, I'm getting results again. Well, because they have a plan. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's that simple.
Very cool. So do you guys have a timetable on when this is going to be popping out? Is it going to be on like the iPhone and stuff like that?
You know what? Right now, it's not an app. We really like to take care of our members. Mm-hmm. So the first version of this is online software or call it desktop software for our members at the Burn the Fat Inner Circle. So we built it right into a website.
Oh, cool.
So it's not an app, not yet anyways. Phase 2 might be an app, but no promises on that yet. I just about tore my hair out getting the online version built. I don't know if I'm going to go into the software business again. I mean, a lot of beta tests. But burnthefatinnercircle.com, it's already there. There's still a few tweaks because it's in beta, but it's really neat. There's nothing like it. It's the only thing that ever made me give up Excel, because for years and years I kept telling everybody, I just use Excel spreadsheet. I'm old-fashioned because I never found a meal planner that did everything I wanted it to. And then one day I decided, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to build my own. I'm going to build it the way I would want it and the way our members would want it. And that's what we did.
Well, very cool. Sometimes that's what you have to do. If you can't find something that works best, you just got to make it yourself.
Yep.
This is kind of like a mixture of a couple questions that we got from the audience, but what do you think are some of the most common programming mistakes when it comes to fat loss programming? There's so many people. I mean, it's so easy to get your voice out there, and there's so many fitness experts on the internet these days. Do you think people are having problems because they're training too hard or they're not training hard enough? What have you kind of seen?
You know, every time I bring this up, people yawn because it sounds like the same thing. But I mean, if you want to start with the most fundamental thing, it's the most common mistake is people aren't focusing on calorie deficit. Mm-hmm. I mean, even at the most fundamental level, their whole discussion about the obesity, it's like, well, no, it's not the calories. It's something else.
Of course.
It's a certain hormone. You know, I mean, there's a diet book for every hormone. You know, let's see, the leptin diet, the testosterone diet, the insulin. I mean, seriously. And there's like a diet book for every food. So, you know, obesity, it's not the calories, it's certain evil foods that you have to avoid. Yeah, and that's been going on forever. And, you know, it was low carbs for a while. And, you know, the scapegoat of the day now is like wheat, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, a lot of people don't do well with it. But there's still a calorie equation there. But the thing is, a lot of people are dropping wheat for health reasons. But they're being told that the wheat is the reason for their belly, when they're not paying attention to the calorie deficit. So, like, I mean, I'm not trying to pick on any one particular diet program, but this has been going around forever. It's like anything is the scapegoat except eating too much. Mm-hmm. And what they do a lot of times is they'll just put together some kind of scheme that tricks people into eating less anyways. So they'll follow that diet that has evil foods to avoid or special secret foods to eat or whatever, or, you know, it manipulates the evil hormone or releases the positive good hormone, whatever it is. And then they end up believing that was the cause of the problem when actually that was just a way for them to get them to eat less. So, you know, and on the training side, the advice we're always hearing is, exercise more, eat less, exercise more. It's not quite that simple. That's not exactly the right advice, because you can exercise more and still end up in a calorie surplus. Mm-hmm. Like the people who compensate. There's been some studies on compensation where people, it's a certain, I don't know if it's genetic or if it's a certain personality type, but some people will train more and then they'll just start eating more. And not everybody does it. It's not automatic. But some people will do that. So they hear the advice, exercise more, and they start exercising more and they don't lose any weight. But they weren't focusing on a deficit. They were just gerbil on the wheel. Let's just, you know, spend more time on the treadmill. So the common mistake is if we would just put our focus to focus on the deficit and then backtrack and figure out how to achieve that deficit in the most efficient way. And if you're not losing weight, it's not to look for some, you know, what the evil hormone is or what the evil food is. It's like, okay, where did my deficit go? Mm-hmm. Where, how did I lose my calorie deficit and how to get back to that? You know, it's the simplest thing and it's the least glamorous thing. So the people, you know, as soon as they hear it, they kind of, their eyes roll back in the back of their head. But I mean, I think that's like the pivotal point in like causation that we eventually come back to, no matter what angle you approach this from. So I don't think that we can talk about it enough.
Yeah, well, it's like, whatever Will Ferrell said in Anchorman, it's science. It's, you know, it's what we know to be true. And it's at the end of the day, it's a math equation. I think for the next question, we did kind of hit on this a little bit before, but I think it's one of those things that we do hear a lot about from our listeners is we get lots of questions in the mailbag about people who have, we just had one last episode too about, you know, people who, you know, have been into fitness. They have lost that, you know, major amount of weight, but then they kind of fall back on their previous habits a little bit and start putting some old weight back on, or like we were talking about before, stalling a little bit. Can you talk about any suggestions or strategies to help people get back on the clean eating path when they do fall off?
Well, anybody who's been following my stuff for years knows I'm a huge advocate of setting goals. And when we very first get started in the beginning, like we not haven't necessarily fallen off, but we're just starting, it all starts with setting goals. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people will fall off because it's the New Year's resolution syndrome. Yeah. They set goals once and they didn't realize that goal setting is a lifelong discipline. It's not something you do once. So it's kind of like you're always asking yourself, what's next? And you need a new challenge. You need a new challenge. I mean, that's why our transformation contest really get people re-engaged is we give them a new challenge. We give them a new goal. And it is just a goal, but the goals are important. I mean, this is lifestyle. We're going to have to look at this as a lifestyle, lifelong journey. But along that journey, we have to keep setting new goals. So usually when I see someone has gotten off track like that, I'm like, can you show me your current set of goals? You know, pull that piece of paper or that card out of your pocket and show me your goals, and they don't have them. So let's start there with an exciting new goal. And if you can set it around some kind of special event where you can get some of that motivational juice I was talking about before. I mean, maybe you're not going to go in the Burn the Fat Challenge and pursue, you know, go in it to win it, to get a trip to Maui. But maybe you are going on vacation anyways. Pretty good goal, pretty good motivation underneath your goal is to make that your goal. We're going to the Caribbean in April 1st, so my goal is to get in shape for that. That can really light a spark again. That's one way to do it. You know what I've seen a lot? It's interesting, our demographics there at the Inner Circle. I'm really surprised how many, we don't have kids there, like we don't have a lot of teenagers, but we don't even have a lot of young 20-somethings. We have a lot of people who are hitting 40 and 50. Mm-hmm. My age milestones has been a big goal for people. I'm going to get in the best shape of my life for 50. My 40th is coming up. I'm going to get in the best shape of my life. I don't think I've ever seen that fail to re-stimulate somebody. So set a goal around a milestone like that. Some kind of event or occasion, something that'll get you that's really going to get you charged up and motivated. That's a good place to start. And then I think if we just go back to some of those lessons that we learned out of our challenge, support and accountability, those are the other two lessons we were talking about. That'll get somebody going again. That'll get somebody going again too. I mean, get a support. Are you completely alone? Nobody's supporting you? Or maybe it's the exact opposite. You're surrounded by a bunch of energy vampires. I mean, that'll drag anybody down. So, you know, even if you're around negative people and they're kind of pulling you down, so it's kind of gotten you off track and you can't get away from them, it doesn't mean you can't go out and get support somewhere else. I mean, I think the positive energy outbalances the negative. So yeah, so now we got four things. Reset a new goal, an exciting goal, something exciting, something that there's a motivational reason underneath it. And you can create it yourself, vacation, an age goal, you know, some kind of event, anything. Enter a contest, get a support system going, at least one friend. If you can get in a support community, there's lots of them online now. We have a great community, but whatever community you want to belong to, just get around positive people, and then make yourself, you know, commit to self-accountability, self-responsibility, but get external accountability too. That's like twice the power for accountability. That'll do it.
Very cool. The you know, again, to kind of wrap things up, you know, just again, I'm writing down notes. I'm just kind of going back over some of my stuff. And for people out there, if you are in the car and stuff like that, I will be posting all the links that Tom's talking about in the show notes. And also, if you aren't already, make sure to check out Tom on Twitter and on Facebook. I'll post links for that as well. But, you know, I really think, like you said, you know, if someone has a goal or they really are looking to jump back on the bandwagon, you know, definitely check something out like Burn the Fat, Inner Circle. And, you know, it seems like the best place right now to check out some of your stuff is obviously burnthefat.com is where they
can pick up the program. Yeah, you know what? I've built like a dozen sites. So like people were like trying to figure out where to go. But right now, pretty much we're consolidating everything around the Burn the Fat website. So if you want information on the Burn the Fat ebook, that new second edition, the 10th anniversary edition, that is already up on the site. BurnTheFat.com is the site for the Burn the Fat ebook. BurnTheFatBlog.com is kind of like our public hub. And then Burn the Fat Inner Circle, that's our members-only community. So those are the three Burn the Fat sites. And we got a, we've got a growing following on Facebook, too. Facebook.com/BurnTheFat. So basically, the Burn the Fat sites is the place to find us.
Very cool. Well, Tom, again, thank you so much for taking the time to join us as we kind of get up to that big episode. But again, like I said out there, definitely check out Tom's stuff. He's one of those guys who, if he's talking, I'm always listening. That's why I was taking two pages of notes while he was talking for the last 45 minutes or so. But again, like I said, Tom, thank you so much for joining us, and I can't wait to talk to you again down the road.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, guys, so stick around. We're going to take a couple minutes to talk to Peter Barber, and then we're going to talk about episode 255, so stick around. With me right now is Peter Barber from the PTAdvantage.com, and you guys probably heard me talk about the PT Advantage last episode, but it's really cool that we're able to get Peter on the show to kind of give you guys a little bit more in-depth look on what it is and kind of what they're doing over there. So Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. Great to be here.
So just to give people a little bit of backstory, and I talked a little bit about this on the previous episode, but we are pretty strict when it comes to people offering sponsorship and stuff like that. We try to make sure it's a good fit for not only the audience, but also for the person or the company that is doing the sponsorship, to make sure it's like a good fit and it's a great product. And from people or from what I was talking about last episode, and just going through the software that you guys have and what you're really doing to take the industry and what trainers and coaches can do to the next level is pretty awesome. So how did this all get started, first off?
Well, yeah, see, I was training for years, and then I actually got a position with a gym as more of a regional coordinator. So I took care of multiple gyms with the personal training department, and I just saw some massive gaps in the personal training industry or the strength coach industry. You know, one of which was you know, making programs or what a lot of trainers would call like non-paid time. Yeah. It's one of the hardest thing in our industry, in that obviously, you know, you get paid for that hour or half hour or whatever that you're working with that particular client. But as we all know, there's a lot of effort and time that goes into creating programs, you know, communicating with the client, just, you know, making sure that they're being serviced effectively. So so I saw that. And then the other gap I saw was, you know, from a money-making standpoint, you know, trainers are, you know, working as hard as they possibly can, trying to get as many sessions as they possibly can each week. And then what happens lots of times is a client will, you know, they'll work with you for 1, 2, maybe 3 years, and inevitably lots of times we'll lose a client because they might move away, they want to work on their own for a bit, so on and so forth. And the problem is then, as soon as that client leaves, no matter how much you worked on it, you're behind the eight ball again. You got to find another client because you're not going to earn any more revenue from that particular client, mm-hmm. which I didn't like. To me, I like the idea whereby a trainer can continue to support a client regardless if they move away or they want to do some stuff on their own. We all know the clients can always benefit from support. So I want to think of a way to come up with that support structure, and then also that we're not limited from a geographical perspective if, let's say, they move away. So this is where I kind of came to the online side of it, and to come up with an application that, number one, allows for more convenience and ease of use when it comes to making, storing, and creating exercise programs. And then two, make sure we drive more revenue on an ongoing basis from both current and past clients. And then so we're not limited geographically.
And I think one of the coolest things that I saw when I was kind of going through it, and we – you know, this is getting into the business side of our industry, and for trainers out there, you can understand that the economy isn't so great right now. So sometimes client retention is, you know, is a little bit more challenging. And in, you know, obviously it's great for trainers to have a system that makes things a lot easier, but it also gives you as a trainer a lot more interaction with your clients instead of just like sending an email, which is just kind of a little bit more generic. This is a little bit more personalized, where you can keep up to date with their statistics in the weight room. Like even if they're traveling, like I have one client, John, that's like traveling all the time. So, you know, the setup is great for him. So you can have a little bit more personalized contact and see exactly what they're doing and making sure that they're doing their workouts. So it's not, you know, it's also great for the athlete or the client.
Absolutely. And you know, and the other thing that I found was very common in regard to creating an organization for a trainer. Because like right now, a lot of trainers, they have a typical trainer will have a plethora of videos put up on YouTube or on Vimeo or lots of different other ways of doing it. The challenge then is, how do we convey that to our client in an organized manner, you know, with reps, sets, load, tempo, time, all that sort of fun stuff. So what we've done is we actually have over 700 videos already pre-shot that people can have access to, but we also give the trainer the capacity to organize their current videos that are filmed, and then they can actually organize them and save it in program formats. So really, that's probably one of the biggest strengths of the PT Advantage is the structure to be able to organize videos we give to people, but also videos that they currently have as well.
I think, you know, kind of getting into this and, you know, again, mentioning the business side of things is, you see, I mean, Peter and I were talking before, we were originally talking about the, you know, having you guys come on board, but when I was working at a commercial gym, there's only so many hours that you can really put into that gym, and there's peak times. Like you have the morning, which is like 6 a.m. or like 5:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. and everyone goes to work, and then you have like your 5 p.m. to your 8 p.m. and I really think there's so many trainers that just like go home or they just kind of like sit in the gym and read a magazine, and they're not really taking advantage of, you know, having income that takes place outside of their facility.
You got it. I mean, it's the hardest part. I mean, end of the day, we all need to look at it that, even from a goal forward basis, like we need a bit of an exit strategy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's only so many years that a person can like be pounding the pavement doing, you know, 50, 60 hours a week. And, you know, so what are we going to do in our industry? We don't have pensions. We don't have RSPs that the company pays into typically. You know, so what is that exit strategy? Because when we get sick or if we retire or if we stop training, you know, well, we stop earning money. Whereas, you know, the concept of maintaining people online, and that just might be something as simple as, you know, a client might be very educated. They might just need a new program once every 4 weeks. They might just need the ability just to be able to ask you a few quick questions or ask for a tweak to their program or something like that. But they're willing to pay for it. And the thing is, it's nice for the clients that they don't even have to pay that much for it. But as a trainer, you can maintain hundreds of people instead of focusing on just the 20 key people that are coming in 2-3 times a week. And then also as a trainer, you have flexibility. You can train these people from anywhere. If you want to travel, you're not limited to yourself either, even though your clients are still receiving the benefit of it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, again, kind of going into the, you know, the probably the best way to call it is accountability when it comes to your clients and staying on top of them. You know, what does the PT Advantage offer in terms of tracking and making sure that they're staying on track and keeping them accountable?
Yeah, there's a couple different things there. We have a nutrition log built into it as well, and I put aside the exercise point of it, but yeah, so people can actually fill out their nutrition log, for example, and as a trainer, you can go on board and you can actually make comments on what they've eaten, and they'll actually see your comments. So it's actually interactive, going back and forth to keep them accountable of what they're eating. Exercise-wise, whenever they actually finish a particular day, there's a button they click and that it says day is done. And as a trainer, you'll actually get an update on your side knowing that, okay, this particular client has finished this particular day of the workout. You know, you also have an intranet capacity whereby the trainer can message the client or vice versa, the client message the trainer. And it's all intranet. It doesn't have to deal with emails and stuff like that. It's almost like a form that's built within it. So the communication is very easy and effective. We also have a mobile application that works for the client being able to see their program, being able to communicate with the trainer, and also fill in their nutrition log on the fly. So it's pretty interactive.
For you know, this, I know we have a really high percentage of our listenership are in the industry. They're trainers and they're coaches. How can they kind of get started and where should they go to check it out?
Yeah, well, if they just go to theptadvantage.com, it's really straightforward on how to sign up there. You've got a couple different options.
Sorry, that's my alarm going off, letting me know we have a meeting.
Nice. We're a little bit early on this one. But yeah, you just got to go to theptadvantage.com. It's really easy. You got a couple different options there in regard to if you want to sign in for, you know, just a couple months or for a full year. The price is reflected there as well. And then also, you know, feel free. We're really, really quick on the emails as well. You'll see in the contact there. You can contact us with info@theptadvantage.com or Peter, which is myself, @theptadvantage.com. And we'll get back to you within the 24 hours, and if you want to walk through the program, see exactly how it works. There's also a couple screenshots there on the website too. But yeah.
No, well, Peter, thank you. And again, everyone out there, check it out. Peter took me through a walkthrough of the software, and I got to check it out and go in depth on the stuff and really what they're doing and making it so easy to make changes to your programs on the fly, track your clients, post your own videos. Even just like using your stuff that, like you said, that's already up on YouTube, it is super simple. And, you know, that's one of the things that is very important, because being computer savvy in this industry is not necessarily always the norm. Having something that's super easy and has like almost that Apple touch to it to make things a little bit easier on you is huge. So, you know, again, this is something that, you know, me personally, I'm highly recommending checking out the PTAdvantage.com. Like I said, it's you're going to make any money that you put into it back almost initially on that first client that you sign up and some. So it's, again, making your life easier and being able to take on more clients is something that is pretty valuable in my opinion. So again, check it out. And again, Peter, we'll definitely talk to you down the road. And again, everyone out there, the website is theptadvantage.com. And again, Peter, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Peter. So we're going to be talking right now about episode 250 and what you guys can do to make it special. So the first thing that I want to ask is if you have a particular guest. We have an idea of kind of who we want to have on. We might do a little bit of a round robin of people on the episode. But if you have specific people that you want to have on the episode, let me know. Send them into questions@thefitcast.com. That's the best way to get those in there. And again, I don't with like episode, I think it was episode 100. We took a look back and we did a little bit of a best of show, and those are cool. But I think it's always like, when, to be honest, when I watch like clip show, like you watch that Seinfeld clip show, you know, it's funny, but you're like, I wish I could see a new episode of Seinfeld. So I want to give you guys a new episode of Seinfeld by giving you a new fresh guest. And we could even go outside the box a little bit with this. So again, please, the first thing, submit guest recommendations. Number two, we're going to do a little bit of a contest here. I would like for you guys to email in your favorite FitCast moments or like your favorite memories of the show. And what we're going to do is we're going to pick three out of the ones that are sent, read them on the air, and then you guys are going to win something cool. I promise it will be something fun and interesting. And it will be worth your while. We'll talk a little bit more about the prizes as we lead up to it in next week's episode. But I want you to start thinking about it. And you know, even if you need to, go back, jump on iTunes or jump on thefitcast.com and go through some of those old episodes and find out what, you know, your favorite clips were or your favorite guests or your, you know, funniest moments or most interesting moments, most educational stuff that was on there, things that may have changed the way that you look at your training or your nutrition or your warm-ups or rehab or mindset, really. It feels like, you know, not to get overly crazy about this, but with 250 episodes, throwing all those episodes into iTunes or into a playlist, it gives you about 400 hours of audio. So we, you know, collectively, since I started this in college, done about 400 hours of recording, which is pretty nuts. If you think about it, you could listen to the show nonstop for 2 weeks, which is pretty nuts. So again, if you can, guys can get on that, that would be awesome. What we're going to do now is take a quick mini break. We're going to come back with the off-topic stuff that John and I recorded 2 weeks ago. But due to me not feeling so good, we ended up cutting the show a little short. So stick around. If you want to hang out for the off-topic discussion, we talk about some movies and some games and stuff. Otherwise, we will see you next week. Keep an eye out on my FitCast page at fitcast.com/KevinLarrabee and also twitter.com/KevinLarrabee to be apprised of the upcoming guests. We have a guest that I'm almost locked in for episode 248. And again, if you're kind of following the trend here, we are doing, you know, not to like play favorites, but some of my more favorite guests, you know, that we haven't had on in a while. So you might want to keep an eye out just so you can submit questions. That is what makes the interview so good, to get your guys' questions and to ask them to those guests. So thanks again, as always, for listening. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Check out thefitcast.com. We are posting episodes and show notes on there, also for the show notes for the stuff that Tom talked about today. And other than that, thanks for listening. Have a great rest of the week, and hopefully you survived the hurricane that's going on right now outside my window, and no trees fall down. Take care. I'm in the fast lane, racing through the best days. I don't want to slow down. I know what I want now. Getting down to the old school, just to kill with the new cool. Once the working day is done, it's our time for having fun. I'm gonna party hard until the sun comes up. The music feels so good. Dancing is what I love. We feel the heat tonight. The mood is feeling right. Until the sun comes up, we're gonna party hard. Party, party, party. All right, we're here for the off-topic discussion. John and Kevin are shooting it up, getting the heroin going before the show.
Yeah, he's already annoyed me. We haven't even started recording yet.
So with the off-topic stuff, we got a couple things we can talk about. I moved into another new apartment. Like to keep moving every 6 months or so they can't find me.
Pretty much.
And that's always fun to move stuff. And to then find out that your sofa does not fit in your apartment, so then you end up going to the local furniture store and spending $1,000 on another sofa.
Good times, good rhymes. Yeah, you probably might have wanted to look at that before you moved.
The new one has recliners on both sides, so I just upgraded, and I can get some cash for my old one.
You and Raj Law can just buy the two reclining chairs and do the whole friends man chair thing.
Okay. One thing that I am talking to him about is doing some cool charity stuff for some live streaming stuff that we might do for charity, where we might need to call to the attention of the FitCast listeners to see if we can get some help in terms of raising some money for stuff. So we'll tease that a little bit tonight. What else do we have exciting stuff? I'm going to probably watch Tokyo Drift tonight.
God, that's amazing.
Haven't seen it in a year.
Oh my God, I haven't seen it in forever.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And, you know, it's so weird. You watch... I used to like watch a lot of stuff that took place in Japan because I wanted to go there so bad. Now that I've been to Japan, I'm like, well, I've been there. I know what it's like. And I'm going back in 4 weeks from tomorrow. So 8 nights of crazy Japanese vacationing. Guess what, John? I bought a new camera.
What kind of camera?
A Canon.
Canon what?
Power shots.
Oh, for God's sakes. Well, at least you have a camera.
$200. Well, it takes sweet 16 megapixels or whatever they are. What are they called?
Megapixels.
Yeah, megapixels. 16.1 MPs plus some sick 1080p video.
That's good.
That's great. So I'm going to be bringing that with me to Japan to take some better pictures this year instead of my old $80 Kodak.
Yeah, that's probably better.
Camera that I had, but...
Yeah. What kind is it?
It's a Canon PowerShots ELPH110HS.
What?
That's the model number.
ELPH110?
ELPH110HS. You can find it on Amazon for roughly $200.
Let's see.
In multiple colors. It's their entry line. It's for their, you know, their mom camera. Because I don't like to fake that I'm an artist or anything or a photographer. I just like to take pictures so I can look at them later.
No, that's a small one. Looks nice.
So yeah, it's nice and compact. Like you said, I took some test videos with 1080p in the 1080p mode, and they're outstanding. Like they're way better than my old Kodak video camera. So
yeah,
And it's amazing what they can do with the lenses now, and the CMOS or whatever they're called. But
no, dude, that's the size of the sensor.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
No, that's the big deal.
It's the type of sensor and the size.
So in low light situations, and it's able to focus like crazy.
It's a small sensor in there, but.
Well, next time I need to get a $1,000 camera, I'll let you know, and you can talk to me about it. I got 2,943 followers. Wouldn't it be great to have 3,000?
That'd be great.
All right, John, you got a cat, so why don't you tell the people about that?
If my dog would stop barking at the cat. So, yes, I got a little kitty because I'm an idiot. And the same way that I found the dog, which was wandering in the desert alone without a mom, the same thing happened. We were done with dinner, and I was going into my car, and I see this little thing go scampering across the road, and I was like, holy hell, what the hell is that? And she ran underneath like a bunch of the cars there as people were getting in the cars to drive off. So I just put my hand out, and she came running right over, started purring, and I was like, I guess that's it. No mom in sight, no other kittens in sight, like nothing. She was just alone. So Sandy's name is Sandy, so obviously the cat's name is Dusty. See what I did there? So right now she's sitting in my lap, and all she really lives to do is purr. That's like her thing. She's like, let me just sit in your lap and I'll just purr for like a couple hours. So it's a pretty good deal. She gets along with the dog nicely. Right now they're biting each other. And so I got more fur, and they kind of match too, which is nice. Sandy's a little more yellow and the cat's a little more orange, but there's definitely some color coordination going on there. So it's a good deal.
Super exciting. I'm not really a cat person, but it's a cute looking cat.
Yeah, she's cute. I you know what, like, I love dogs, but the fact of the matter is, like, I was born, they took me home, and there were cats in the house already. You know what I mean? Like, I've had cats.
I grew up with cats, yeah, too, but the last two cats that we've had were literally retarded. So I am totally done with cats. And to be honest, my dog's kind of stupid, so that's awesome.
No, I do like cats. Like, I wish I could claim that I didn't, because I would feel more, you know, manly and virile or something, but no, I freaking love cats. I do. They're just little fur things that, you know.
You know, it's like 2 weeks coming up to the election. I'm really curious to where John stands on who he's going to vote for. I can't tell from Facebook.
I'm undecided.
Dude, you're posting so much political stuff on Facebook. I'm literally interested to see, like, if there's been lots of people, like, defriending you because they might support a different candidate. I would be interested to see those statistics if you could pull them up. But I don't
post that BS crap. Like, I mean, I post something if I think it's relevant, but I don't, you know, I get this stuff from, like, I mean, look, any conservative will say the New York Times or Time Magazine or something. It's all part of the liberal conspiracy. But the fact of the matter is, like, I'm not posting this, like, crap from YouTube and, like, you know, this stuff that I've seen from other people's pages where it's like, you know, I'm trying to pay attention to the source and stuff that I think is, wow, can you guys stop while we're recording? Thank you. That was just a little yelling at my animals.
This is going to be like a bleeping pet shelter.
Seriously. Yeah. I went from being here for 2 years and like nothing to 6 months after
that. How long have you been there?
2.5 years.
So when are you done? Two years soon?
And 7 months. Yep,
it's 2 years
and
deal?
5 months. 5-year deal.
Halfway there. You get some Xbox Live over there yet?
Nope.
You should get the internet so we can play some Halo 4. Comes out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm waiting on
Keith is back. Assassin's Creed 3?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Did you ever play BioShock?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I don't like those first-person shooters, and it's not my thing.
Damn, first-person shooting the things.
Yeah, I've never been a first-person shooter guy.
That's okay. You can stick with your RPGs. You know what? I've been playing some serious stuff on the Super Nintendo. ActRaiser. You remember that one?
No.
It was one of the launch games, and it's got some great music. I like old video games more than I'm getting old where I don't like new music and I don't like new video games as much. But one thing you need to check out that I finally finished, and one of the weird things about my job is that to connect with the kids and two of my personal training clients that play tons of video games, I feel like I almost need to stay up to date on the latest video games to see.
Right.
To be like, oh man, you play that new Sleeping Dogs? And my client John, who I posted about on Facebook a couple times, he's very successful in the industry that he's in, works a ton, but he loves playing some PS3.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been like talking about this game, Sleeping Dogs, and I finally finished it. I was sick on Friday, so while I was at home, I finally got the time to sit through and finish that game. And yeah, if you guys have like a PS3 or an Xbox or a PC, I played it on PC. That game is amazing. It takes place in Hong Kong. Lots and lots of fun, like Grand Theft Auto, but it was way better than Grand Theft Auto 4. Tons of fun, not too long. Can definitely recommend that for people out there. God, my throat is killing me. So,
meow.
God, that's cute.
Yeah, she's cute.
How old's the cat, do you think? Like,
she's got to be like 2 or 3 months tops.
Jesus.
Probably. Yeah.
Do you really have that many pets just like walking around the streets there? You can let the dog bark.
Stop?
It's okay.
Can you stop, Sandy? They do. Yes. In fact, there's like literally, it's just all you see is just cats.
Jesus.
Just one. Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Where's Bob Barker when you need him? Shit.
No, dude. There's so many strays here. And then if you go out into the desert itself, it's like, I mean, you'll see fewer dogs, but they're all out there. And it just, that's all it is. And I don't even want to talk about like the atrocities that they commit against these animals. Like,
well, let's not talk about it then.
Yeah, it's pretty much horrible.
It's still like dumb crap, like Michael Vick being able to, have cats again. Like, that's pretty weird.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it's crazy.
You know, I'm all for like second chances, but it's, you know.
No, I'm not even for second chances. It's crazy.
Well, I think it's interesting. You know, he's not going to treat that animal poorly because he's kind of under a microscope with that stuff. But thinking about the stuff that they've done to these animals, it's pretty nuts.
Yeah,
and pretty disgusting. So that's why you can tell a lot about a person by how he treats things that are weaker than them. And.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's the way it is. So, I think I might, once we get this going, I might order some steak tips. Get a steak tip salad.
Nice.
Kind of.
Is that what you had when we went out? Steak tip salad?
No, I had I had some turkey tips.
Did you?
All right, so that's it for the off topic. We're going to maybe record a show. I don't know if we're going to or not.
Yeah, who knows?